Talking girls, you know we got some problems. So tune on in, or where we talking, how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
All right, Lady Balls, before we dive into the episode, I have to tell you guys about a product that I've been using every day. I started taking AG1 because I was always forgetting to take my vitamins and pills, and it was getting expensive buying them all just to throw them out once they were expired. But I wanted to strengthen and support my immune system and have more energy. And that's where AG1 came in. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, and probiotic to help you start your day off right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your immune system, your energy, recovery, and your focus. AKA, all the things that are important for athletes. Plus, bonus is actually affordable and cheaper than buying all those supplements. Not to mention, it tastes good. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/soccergrl. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/soccergrl to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you in California right now? Or where are you?
Yeah, I'm in LA.
Nice.
Yeah.
How do you like there so far?
I like it. Yeah. I'm living in Marina, so I'm like right next to the beach, which has been super fun. So
I saw on your Instagram, right? Do you surf?
A little bit. I'm like still learning.
That's cool.
I'm still pretty bad, but
surfing's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's the best sport to be bad at though and still have fun. Like,
yeah, for
and
sure.
And it's free. So
yeah.
But that's awesome. So yeah, we'd love to just dive right in. I mean, we know we've talked about it before, but we'd love to hear. So you went from going from Louisville to playing now at Angel City, and you've gone from one expansion team to another. So we'd love to hear like what that's been like.
Yeah.
Positives, any challenges with that? So any thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's definitely been interesting, like going into obviously last year with Louisville and seeing how they dealt with an expansion team, and then kind of coming into Angel City and like seeing how they dealt with it and kind of comparing the two, because it's two very different atmospheres. I feel like Louisville already had a men's team, so it was already pretty much set up for a women's team to kind of just slide right in. Whereas here in LA, like, we don't have a men's team, you know, we're having to figure out our facilities, kind of having to start from the ground up and, you know, really make a home for a women's professional team here. So it was two completely different like experiences as far as that goes. I feel like also like because Louisville had a men's team to rely on as far as like a fan base, you know, all that was kind of already there. It was not as big of a like we need to put focus into the women's team, because it was, you know, already kind of set up and it was just here's a women's team, we'll just go about our business. Whereas here at Angel City, like, it's we really have to focus on every little detail to make sure that we're doing things the right way and like learn from, you know, mistakes, or if a field, you know, our field situation at the beginning of the year wasn't the best and like we had to kind of pivot, and you know, all of that was learning and, you know, growing throughout the season. So it's been interesting to see how, you know, a club can really go from being absolutely nothing and just kind of a theory to actually putting down roots and playing games and training and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, it was a first year, and I think as an expansion team, we did really well with the pieces that we had. And so that was really exciting.
We're amazed just at how amazing Angel City's social media is, the marketing of everything. Like, it seems like you guys really have it down pat over there. So although you must feel like you're going from like zero to, you know, 100 really quick in 1 year, I can't believe how amazing the league, the team itself, like, just looks, and how you guys are already growing so much and it's just the beginning. So it must be so fun for you to be a part of this at, you know, during the beginning stages of the team itself. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how has your team grown together in just one season? Like, how has that been going?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, like in an expansion team, you're just a bunch of new players that might have played on like other teams together in the past, but for the most part, you're playing together for the first time, and you know, you have to decide on a style of play, you have to figure out chemistry with everyone, and so it takes a lot of effort, like on and off the field, to make sure that the team is like clicking. You know, there's no drama, there's no clicks, stuff like that. And so it was definitely, I'd say, like a great group of people in order to make that work. Because I mean, everyone's just been really cool, really fantastic, like go with the flow. You know, like I mentioned earlier, like we had to change fields throughout the season as far as training fields go. And you know, there was a lot of things that we could have really like let get in our way of like actually making progress on the field, but the group was incredible, and just having that chemistry on and off the field, I think really helped us improve and, you know, show up in, on game day. So it was really cool to see like a group of just, you know, new players come together and really start to create a style of play and a chemistry, and, you know, the things that the club's doing, not even on the field, but off the field as well in the community. I think we've made a huge impact in LA this year, and that's something that we want to definitely continue to build upon. And so just all in all, like, it's been a really cool experience to be able to grow with this group of players.
Now, we can tell that you are, you know, like a natural born leader, and you tend to find yourself in leadership roles on teams. I'm just curious, how has your leadership role been from team to team, like even from when you played in college until the team you're on now? Sorry. Do you feel that you are the same type of leader no matter what team you're on, or do you feel like you adapt as a leader and in that role position on teams?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think through from college until now, like, I've had to grow as a leader as far as how I communicate with people, especially. Whenever I was in college, I could be pretty harsh and demanding. Like, it's just kind of my nature, but I didn't adapt how I communicated with each individual. Like, it was kind of just like, here's how I communicate, take it or leave it. Whereas as I've like gone through my professional career, I had to learn, like, not all players want to be communicated to the same way. And so, especially like Sky Blue in Chicago, I wasn't in a huge leadership role. Like, I was more of a support player, a young player, a rookie. Like, that was kind of my role. I was on teams with a lot more experienced players. And then going into Louisville last year, I had to, like, I was a veteran on the team. And so I was put in a captain role and with a bunch of players that were new to the league, straight out of college. And so I had to really learn how to communicate with them without like by setting a standard, yes, but also like not shutting them down at the same time. And so like letting them know that this is the standard and we need to get there, but also like being encouraging at the same time. And so it really like challenged me in that aspect of growing how I communicate with people. And then coming into this year, like, I felt like I was able to kind of slide into that position of like, Allie was obviously our captain, but I was like kind of in a leadership role as far as still doing the demanding piece. But like, I grew so much last year of like how I communicated with my teammates that it was easier for me to then come into a new group of players and like create those relationships and have those conversations of like, how do you like to be talked to as a player? Like, what can I do to get the best out of you? Because ultimately, like, everything that I do as a leader, I just want to win. Like, I'm a really competitive person, and I want to win games. And so whatever I can do to help like get the best out of my teammates is something that I've like tried to learn and adapt throughout my career.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because we interviewed Rachel Daly last year and she said the same thing. In college, she was very direct and would just basically tell you how it was. And that was her way of leading people on her team. And it took like everyone talking to her and saying, I do so much better if you communicate this way to me. And yeah, it's really important to have that communication with your teammates, because it is a two-way street in terms of how you can lead a team. And then I also love that you brought up the fact that you do not have to be a captain and wear the captain's badge to lead. You can lead from the bench. You can lead on the field. You could be vocal, or you could be leading by example. There's so many different ways of leading that I feel like many players tend to forget.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, having a successful team, it takes everyone to lead in some capacity, whether it's on the field, off the field, on the bench, like you mentioned. Like, it just takes everyone to know the standard and be willing to hold that standard in order for the team to go from good to being great. Like, that's what makes championship teams, is that every single player knows the standard and is willing to, like, hold the standard, whether it's someone that's playing 90 minutes or someone that doesn't play at all. Like, it's still the same standard, and it's so important to be able to have a team that's all on the same page when it comes to that, in order to make things easier for the actual captain.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's such a balancing act, and that's at every level, whether it's high school, club, college, pro. Like, you have to all be on the same page with that, and it's tricky, especially for a new team. But once you find that and you can all mesh and understand each other, like, that's when, like, the magic starts to happen. So
yeah, for sure.
Speaking of balance, I would love to know, how do you balance, like, being a professional and then off the field, just being a regular person? Do you find that's hard? Is your mind always on soccer, or is there anything that you do to, like, alleviate stress off the field?
Yeah. I definitely, like, now feel way more comfortable, like, balancing my life than when I first entered the league. Like, I was all soccer or all play. Like, there was no, like, balance in my life as far as that goes. But then, like, as my career's gone and I've, like, learned a lot of lessons, like, I now find myself that I am still, like, very much soccer, but I love to get outside and, like, get away from people, get away from, like, soccer, get away from, like, social media, all that kind of stuff. And I find that that really helps me to, like, take a break and not think about soccer 24/7. You know, whether it's walk to the beach, go surfing, you know, take the bike for a spin, or, like, something like that, like, just get away, that I'm not looking at my phone, not thinking about soccer, not looking at soccer posts or stuff like that. Like, because it's so easy to get down that rabbit hole of, like, just scrolling through social media and looking at all the drama, looking at all the NWSL stuff and, you know, just soccer in general. And then your mind goes to, oh, well, training today or the game or, like, stuff like that. It's just so easy to go down that rabbit hole and really just, like, would just stress me out. And so I love, like, the hour or two a day that I can take that I just go and escape all of that. And I find that when I do that, like, then I'm able to show up the next day at training, actually focus at training and, like, be in the moment while I'm there. And then afterwards kind of, you know, let it go and, you know, be ready to go for the next day.
Yeah. It's so important to have that balance, because then you end up burning out. And I feel like the way that you're seeing it, there's so much, it's just so much more sustainable throughout your career to have that mindset. So I guess this goes without saying, but does this help you stay motivated because you have those breaks that you give yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I still absolutely love soccer. Like, I would think about it 24/7 if I could, but I found that, like, when I don't allow myself to escape, then I find myself going through the motions more than actually enjoying showing up to training. And so, like, it's definitely, like, a balancing act, because you want to continue to, like, get better. And, you know, I still have this passion, and I, like, find myself at times feeling like I need to be, like, soccer, 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 soccer in order to get better. And whereas I've actually learned that when I am dedicating my time to, whether it's actual training during season or, like, in the off season, especially, is even harder for me, because I feel like I need to be, like, training to get better and be ready for preseason. But being able to say I've done my training for today and then, like, let's go do something that's not soccer related, like, that's when I actually can show up every single day motivated to want to perform and want to, like, continue to get better and train hard. So yeah, it's definitely something that I've learned, that, like, my time away during a day or during a week is, like, super important in order for me to continue showing up motivated.
Yeah, you bring up such a good point. And it's like, if you had to think about one thing all day, you eventually, like, desensitize yourself to it. And, like you were saying, you fall into the trap of going through the motions. It pulls the excitement out of going to practice, pulls the excitement and the hype out of being in a game. So it's so important just to let your brain take a break from that so that when you do show up and you can finally turn that soccer part of your mindset on again, it's exciting again and it's new and it's a special part of your day instead of this thing that is kind of weighing on you all day. I'm just curious, did you have that balance when you were a collegiate athlete, or like when did you learn that? Because I know like for me in college, I didn't know how to shut it off and it took me a while to learn. Like, what was your learning point for that?
Yeah, I didn't really learn that until probably two, three years ago. Like, I went through, like I kind of mentioned earlier, like I went through a phase that I was soccer all the time. And then I would kind of crash. And then I'd be like, like go through the motions for a little while of soccer and, you know, have other things that would come in, like come before soccer that would then take away from soccer. And so I definitely like didn't have balance as far as that goes. Like I would go through these like waves of super motivated and then like not motivated at all. And then super motivated, and, like not motivated at all. And it wasn't until probably right after I got traded to Chicago. So right before 2020, that I like completely like had a huge change of mindset, like got myself fit, so that I like could actually play 90 minutes, wanted to be a regular starter with Chicago, and found myself that like the more that I focused on that, the more I realized that balance was so important, that when I was training, I needed to train hard and I needed to make the most of it. But then when I wasn't training, I needed to kind of, you know, find an escape and find a way to allow myself to feel okay about my training and like kind of let myself like just experience life in general. And the more that I actually focused on that, the better I found myself on the field. And so it was like this weird thing of, I thought that in order to get myself back in the starting lineup and get myself fit, that I needed to like completely dial in soccer wise. But it was really when I found myself that I was, yes, I was down in soccer wise, but when I wasn't training, then I was like able to take a break. That's when like I found that I was more motivated, had more energy, you know, more like, and also I was just playing some of the best soccer that I've been playing. Like I allowed myself to feel free instead of like so locked in that I was like overthinking things and I wasn't playing free. And so once I started to do that, then I like found myself playing some of the best soccer that I've ever played.
So like, how do we learn that lesson earlier? Cause I feel like on all the podcasts, you always talk about all of these things and we're talking to professionals that it takes them all the way until their professional career to learn that they need to, you know, find balance, or they need to be able to, you know, not sweat the big mistakes. So I'm just curious, do you have any advice on like, how would you have gotten your college self to learn this earlier? Cause it's, that's like really the key to unlocking it for these players that are coming up, is teaching them how to learn these things early.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was all about trial and error. And it was like, I needed to learn the hard lessons in order to actually get to where I am. So I wouldn't trade any of that, because I did go through all of that in order to learn it. But I mean, obviously, if I could have learned it in college, I could have probably saved myself a lot of time and pain. I just feel like it's allowing yourself to like be okay with having other hobbies. Like, I feel like as a kid, and especially going into college, like you're taught like soccer is your life, soccer's this, like it's got to be everything to you, and you have to like want everything, you know, soccer. And I think that's, yes, it's like obviously soccer is a huge part of our lives, but it's also like allowing yourself to go experience other parts of life. Like, go find a hobby that you like to do, like go outside, go for a walk, go, you know, like find something else that you also really enjoy, because I find that if I have that in my life, that I'm able to focus on soccer when I'm there and like put all of my energy into soccer. But then I also have this escape that I'm okay to, you know, go do these other things. And so I feel like that's like a huge piece of it, is like finding hobbies outside of soccer that you can allow yourself to go enjoy and like not be competitive at. Cause that's also hard for me. It's like, I love activities and I love, you know, competitive things. And I find myself like wanting to be the best in like my hobbies, whereas like, I don't need to be the best in my hobbies. And so like finding things that I'm okay with being average at has actually been like really big for me, because I don't have to put like all of my time and energy into these hobbies. I can just like be okay with being mediocre, and then my competitive spirit can come out like tenfold on the field. Yeah.
That's so true. We've never talked about that, but that's a good point. It's really hard for a lot of soccer players to not be competitive in all aspects. Like, yeah, some hobbies, like when we play spike ball. Sorry. Yeah. Sometimes I get like really.
This is Shannon.
We're like playing volleyball. Like it's supposed to be fun. You gotta like have an outlet where you're not like getting so worked up about stuff, and then you can bring that energy and the competitiveness back on the soccer field. So I like that point a lot.
Yeah.
It's probably because it has been drilled in our brains to be the best and always be turned on to perform. Yeah. So it's like, even when you're playing a board game with your grandma, I will flip the table over. I'm just kidding.
No, but it's just, but we might.
I think a lot of soccer players just that's just how they feel because of how we were brought up. So I just love that you talked about that, because it's just a nice reminder. I think players now, especially at a younger age, what would help them is to just be self-aware of how they're feeling in certain situations, and what are they more than just soccer? Like, what are your passions? What are your hobbies? And just explore those sooner. And I feel like it could really help them bring them out of that such a extreme state where like that usually you burn out over time. So I just think that's just all such good points. And speaking of self-awareness, like right now, are you working on any goals for yourself, whether it's on the team now or even beyond the team, maybe even for the national team? Like, do you have certain goals for yourself that you've set and you're working towards?
Yeah. My ultimate goal is to get back with the national team. That's, you know, ever since I was getting called in right out of college, like, I kind of had a 6-month experience with the team, and like being able to put the jersey on and everything that comes with that. Like, ever since then, I went through a period that I was like, no, like I'm over it, whatever. And then when I like mentioned this in Chicago, I like decided that, no, that was actually like still my dream. I want to get back there. And, you know, obviously I would love to be able to represent the US in like a World Cup or Olympics. But I also think I've gotten to a point where, yes, that is my ultimate goal, but I also like want to continue getting better for my club team. So like this past year was like to score more goals and get myself closer to the goal. And I was able to do that. I ended up having like 7 goals on the season. And so getting like having those little goals, like for my club team, has really helped me like stay more in the moment of my seasons and not let seasons fly by and feel like I failed because I didn't get caught in with the national team. And so like having those little goals throughout a season for me has been really huge in order to like continue to perform and continue to push myself. Because I mean, yes, my ultimate goal is the national team, but if I'm not doing things throughout a season that I can feel accomplished for, then like the national team's never gonna happen. And so I've like found myself like focusing more on having those little goals for, you know, Angel City, so that, you know, hopefully I can put myself in the best position going forward to get a call in.
I feel like that goes for so many levels of players. Like, you can want to go to UNC for college, but you have to get the small goals on the way if you're a high school player, and you have to do things. Yeah. Because if not, it's going to be so far out of your reach. You need to reach those little ones, and it's going to set you up for more success. So I love that advice.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, the last question we have is, what is your biggest soccer girl problem?
Oh, my bun always falling out.
That's the worst.
It's the worst. Like, I go for a header and the ball like skims it, and then it's just this whole ordeal.
Do you put 2 scrunchies in or 2 hair ties? Or you
do 2 hair ties.
Still doesn't hold up, huh?
No. It like explode off then when it fully comes off.
So. Yeah, it does. And then it's just a pain to put it back up, and then plays going on, and
they should really
one time that. They should. You should get an automatic timeout.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, do you ever still play when it's like on the side like this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done that. It's pretty silly.
I can't do it. I like, if even if the ball's at my feet, I'm like, I gotta fix it.
Yeah. Savannah, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome. And we are excited to continue to watch your journey, and hopefully we get to see you play in person sometime soon.
Yeah, sweet. Thanks for having me on, guys.
That would be fun. We can go surf.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll grab your address so we can send you some gear and we'll let you know when the episode's coming out.
Okay, sweet.
Awesome. Have a great day. Go get your dog. Probably like, what are you doing?
I know.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye, guys.
Talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in, away we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games.